How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Oh, saucy.
Second funniest podcast. This is episode 227.
Dun, 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 dun.
My name is Justin Worsham.
This is the new theme song. Dun, 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 dun.
Maestro is Kevin Miller.
Second funniest theme song.
The subject this week is...
It's a trivia challenge. Are we really going this time?
Yeah, why? Oh. Here's how you know we're not going, is if that light's ever blinking, because you just scared the living hell out of me.
Now
if that light is blinking.
Now we're even, my friend, for doing it to me three times before this.
We did a we did a little bit of a bit beforehand where I started the show before Kevin could do his homework, and that was why he was doing that crap to me. Welcome, Sky Jedi, to the chat room, so I hope you caught the episode where we rehashed your transcript from your conversation with Heather. It was hilarious, and I'm sorry for your uncomfortable predicament, but it made for some good time on the show. Thank you for your support.
Go to secondfunniestpodcast.com, give us $2 and take the quiz.
I have a couple things I want to talk about before we go into the show. Let's see. Well, let's do the topic. I feel like we should just...
Really? You just want to bang it? Usually this is what we spend the whole time on.
What?
Are we going to watch TV now?
Is the topic.
Yeah. It's not a topic. It's a trivia challenge.
What's the difference between a topic
because
and a trivia challenge?
Because podcasts do topics. You can go. We are the second funniest podcast. We do trivia challenge.
Challenges. But we are still a podcast.
Yeah, but we're the second funniest one.
So
those third and fifth funniest ones.
They're also doing topics.
They're doing topics. The first funniest podcast is just funny. So we're the second funniest podcast.
Okay.
Greg Carell, by the way, who called in and talked to you a few episodes ago, he emailed me and said, "Hey, by the way, what's the first funniest podcast?" To which I responded, "The second funniest podcast."
Boom! Slap that on a happened. T-shirt and sell the hell out of it. Yeah.
That's the new theme song.
what I just said?
Yep.
So here's what I found out about our trivia challenge, which was provided by, Jessica? Oh, crap. I think I just messed up her name.
Take two.
Jessica, nailed it. You're welcome, Jessica, because we are BFFs forever, and I totally remembered your name.
Bacon fried freeze?
We are going to do each other's nails and hair, unless you're lesbian, in which case we will build a Habitat for Humanity
together.
Why
is it always gay and ecological for you? What is it? No matter what you say, you always go to the liberal agenda.
Because that's what's funny to me.
it's politics, not trivia.
So Volkswagen and other car enthusiasts finds plenty of ways to play decades-old games. So this is from the Kansas City
Star. The trivia challenge was by Jessica.
Slugbug.
Slugbugs.
She wanted to know what's the like about the game and or the origins of the game.
Yeah, all right.
So I found I'm going to read it just because it's not too long, and I did edit down a lot of stuff. But I might seem a little long-winded. Prepare your skip button, jackasses.
Skippity.
I want a name for our listeners. I don't want to call them jackasses.
I want a name for each listener.
Ooh.
Let's see, because a listener, they don't listen in groups, right? They listen as individuals. You are listening as one person.
So it's like we pretend like we're talking to a person instead of masses?
Yeah, exactly. So you don't say listeners, you say, I'm talking to you, jackass. Why don't you listen now, jerk face?
But what would we
call
him?
In the singular. Call him or her.
Or, yeah, that's
so
what
it should
mean,
be. Yeah, no, it should be a gender-neutral phrase.
Like a jackass.
Like a jackass. So you're like, hey, what's up, poop face? Stuff like that. I just got that. I don't know where I even got that.
my dads are more fun podcast mug that says, don't poop in my coffee.
Let's call them daddy.
Yeah. Daddies?
So everybody, no, it's daddy because they're singular.
Daddy.
The listener is a singular listener.
But that's not good for chicks.
Yeah, well, I think it's,
You're just reading things in my house. Okay. I'm genuinely committed and I feel guilty. Like I had a moment of like, I'm kind of shitting on his idea. Oh, I'm sorry, bro. And then I'm like, no, he's just reading crap in my living room.
No, let's do valued. Let's do that. We'll call them Value.
I don't know. Maybe it will. Oh, cats. No, that's like your lady.
Fiance.
Anyway.
I mean, girlfriend.
Whatever. We're not talking about that. The Kansas City Star says on the East Coast, they play Punch Buggy. On the West Coast and here in the Midwest, it's Slug Bug. Some kids call it Beetle Bop. The hippies called it Love Bug. But no matter where you live or how you play it, when you see a Volkswagen Bug or Beetle, look out for the uninitiated. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. There's a period there. Look out for the uninitiated. The game goes like this. The first person in the car to spot a VW gets to arm punch everyone in reach, shouting Slug Bug or Punch Buggy, or if you're a hippie, Love Bug. Aww. For decades, people have played games involving the rounded, colorful car, but no one really knows when it all began. I would say it started with some college kids back when there were lots of bugs in the late 60s, said Scott Sportsman, a Kansas City firefighter, bug owner, and Slug Bug player. They were just kids looking for a reason to have fun, said Sportsman, who drives a 71 baby blue bug and is a total faggot. That's not in here. Assorted
and he plants a lot of trees.
Yes.
And cleans up oil slicks.
Yes. Hold on. You mean to tell me there's no Republicans who... Because I will say this. Yeah. Republicans were all for bringing the oil wells into shallower waters closer, which would mean it wouldn't be so hard to repair that leak.
You know, I would never want you to be a train engineer because you get derailed.
Easily.
Come on.
Assorted tales of how the fun started. The various names and the rules of the game are online by the dozens. There's a book, The Complete Rules of Punch Buggy by Michael Lockhart and Ian Finlayson. Why are we not writers then?
It's a page. It was a different time before the internet or entertainment, so people could just write anything. They were trying this thing out.
I want to write a book. We could write a book about improv
games.
How
about a book about coffee table books? Oh, that's got to have been done. That was done. Too obvious. Yeah. I got to go look that up.
They've even written a satirical history of the game, dating it to ancient Egypt. Oh, these two.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Get a load of them. Why are we down on them or me? I'm not bringing you into this.
Yeah, you can, though.
The truth is there is no recorded origin of the game, but the bug has had an interesting life. It's an icon in pop culture, said Michael Marsden, a popular culture expert and professor of English and cultural studies at Eastern Kentucky University in Richmond. Whoa. He's at Eastern Kentucky University in Richmond, Virginia. That's a different Richmond,
yeah,
I bet.
Probably.
For most slug bug players, a bug is a beetle is a bug. They just make sure they see it first. It doesn't matter if it's a bug or a beetle, said Jennifer Wyman, 26, of Kansas City, a slug bug fanatic. Wyman doesn't just stop at slug bugs. She plays a variety of car games, from PT Cruiser Bruiser to Volkswagen Jetta Jabs to Toyota Camry Compliments. It's something to do on the road trips instead of 100 bottles of beer on the wall, Wyman said. It makes the time pass quickly. So then I also looked up and found the official rules for Punch Buggy or Slug Bug. When you spot a bug or beetle, yell Punch Buggy and the color of the car. For example, if you see a blue bug, you yell Punch Buggy Blue. If you don't want to get hit back, you have to say no punch back as you sock the other player. Variations of the game. Beetle Bop, a family-friendly G-rated version of the original game. I don't know why it's G-rated. I don't remember, you don't have to fillet someone.
Punching them, maybe it's just they don't want to be punched.
Yeah, but that, to me, how about just being nice?
General audiences. Would your wife really want to be hit? Doesn't she hate it when your son pushes her and hits her with that stick?
That's why I teach him to do it.
Yeah, well, she doesn't listen to the podcast, right?
No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. No. She lost all interest in what I do because it's not making any money. Is that too real?
No, I thought it was funny. It was the second funniest thing we've heard.
If you see a beetle or bug, just holler, Beetle Bop. You don't hit the player. It's all about who spots it first.
That is the stupidest game.
It's faggoty T-ball rules. No score. It's just because we played a competitive game, jackasses.
Boy, those gays are always recycling.
Right? Love bug for hippies. Here they come. Or touchy-feely types. If you see a bug or beetle, say love bug and give a hug or kiss to the other player.
Oh, well, that's the G-rated for a reason.
Yeah. Then you can kiss the downstairs.
I'm sorry, what?
Huh?
What?
Cruiser Bruiser, the PT Cruiser, another uniquely shaped and easily recognized car, has its own version of Slug Bug. You see a PT Cruiser, call Cruiser Bruiser and punch the other player. Camry Compliments, a game for ego boosting. If you see a Toyota Camry, you have to compliment the other player.
Oh, now that game I play.
I think it's structured poorly. I think if you see it first, other people should have to compliment you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You shouldn't have to just give it up.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
What kind of pansies really are playing Camry Compliments? Like, do you, can you think of, honestly, let's seriously think about this. Here, I can think of one person who might listen to the game Camry compliments and be like, that was fun. And it's going to sound like I'm making fun of her, but I'm not. And that's Jessica Gross.
Yeah, but that's
nobody knows
she's
her.
The, filled with sugar.
The jackass that we're talking to doesn't know her, but she's a friend of one of our bosses that we do the events for
who
occasionally.
Doesn't listen. Who doesn't listen either?
Yeah,
but one. This
she's
jackass.
Like cat. She signs off emails with cupcakes, sprinkles, sugar on top, lollipops, and kittens and baby puppies.
Joseph Bears, the jackass, knows.
He knows. He knows. What do you mean? Oh, he knows her. I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. But that's the only person that I could think of that would hear Camry compliments. Yes, let's play it. Do you know of a family?
Probably the Smethursts.
You shut your face. Seriously?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
That'd be awesome.
Definitely her dad, I have a feeling. He's probably listening to the show now. Oh, gosh. I really hope he hasn't found this show before the wedding. If you could see my face, jackass, you would see the blood draining from it right now.
If you are listening, Mr. Smethurst, I'm going
to
personally...
Don't go back and listen to old episodes.
If you decide to, here's what I'm going to say. Your future family member, son-in-law, however you want to call it, jackass is a good name. He likes it. He had nothing to do with early content on this show.
Except for the half that I said.
Since we started doing the topic, that's
trivia
when
challenges
that, or sorry gosh I'm really bad
I'm
as
really
a co-host
bad. Bad.
That's when you could definitely give Kevin credit for anything that he says. Before that, it was just him trying to support me in whatever stupid racially driven humor.
Except for I think
value.
The most we've had two of the most racist episodes since since we started.
Yeah, but that's all me.
Challenge.
You weren't being racist. You were just sitting there getting uncomfortable. Yeah. And him being from Virginia, he understands racism. He's probably more now on my side, wishing that maybe I had found his daughter's eyes before you.
I'm surprised you didn't.
What do you mean?
Wow, you're just such a good-looking guy.
Oh, man. You know how to get a guy.
One, two, three.
I think my my other little link here, which I was very impressed that I found, may not work. Let's see if I did it. What I found was that I thought, well, now I've pretty much covered the origin, covered the rules of the slug bug game. So let's look at some other games that can be played in the car. And I'm just going to read off the table of contents from a page called beachnet.com. And then there's a bunch of stuff. So just Google slug bug car games. And you'll find the link for this. But there's one called the Alphabet Game, Bury Your Horses, Categories, Doubles, Firefighter, Fuzz, Ghost, Howdy Doody, I Spy, several versions, Monster Mix and Match, Padiddle, Punch Buggy or Slug Bug, which we're covering, Quaker Meeting, hold on, I didn't see all these, Scrabble, Sweet and Sour, Weakest Link, Seafood is in parentheticals on Weakest Link, and what? Which I read. So now I'm going to decide. I was going to have you pick which. Well, we can still do that. You'll
I want to know Seafood, yeah, the one that's in parentheticals.
Yeah, Weakest Link. It says, distribute to the children food items that will dissolve in saliva. Children must retain
a
recognizable lump of original food material in their mouth for as long as possible. You chose wisely. Bananas and other fruit are good, as are suckers and crackers. Players challenge each other to demonstrate that they still retain recognizable lumpage by calling out seafood while demonstrating that they still have that last bit of Tootsie Roll on their tongue. Since challenging inevitably produces saliva, it's a two-edged sword and not to be done too frequently. A good game to play after Firefighter requires vinyl upholstery.
Firefighter. I want to see that one.
Let's see. Oh, that one's easy. It's just whenever you see a fire engine, you get to make the noise of the siren.
Mm. So it's a way of shutting your children up for a little while.
Not really. If they're making all that noise and going, seafood, seafood.
What was the Camry one again? The one that
Camry compliments.
That pasty ladyface is playing? That's Joseph Bears' name for Catherine's dad.
He calls his dad Pathy.
I don't remember why, but
pasty lady face.
Yeah,
see now I'm trying to help you.
I know.
And now you bring up that little term.
Listen.
While the man is listening,
the
what if now he's going to go start tanning before?
Listen,
the big
pasty wait, lady face. I'm now talking to the listener, jackass. The jackass was you, not you, jackass. This is very confusing,
but fun. I'm having a good time.
Please make that a drop.
But fun.
Yeah. What was the Camry rules?
Every time you see a Camry, you have to give...
Any Camry?
Yeah, a Toyota Camry.
Why? Why is that?
Huh?
Why, though?
What do you mean?
Well, why does the Camry... Is that a...
Because it's
with
C&C.
Company? compliment.
Camry compliments.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, like PT Cruiser Bruiser rhymes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jetta Jab alliteration.
It's just all about hitting people, isn't it?
Jetta Jab and Cruiser Bruiser and Slugbug.
Do you think that the people at Camry, actually, over at Toyota, were like, you know what we should do?
Let's get this out there. Yeah. I also Googled, but I didn't think it was very interesting because I thought, well, let's find some people. Like, what if I found somebody who's uber passionate about how much they hated the game of Slugbug?
Yeah.
And guess what? They exist. But not to the degree that...
Of course they do. Because Americans have nothing better to do than to go online and talk about something completely innocuous.
Yes.
And have a very strong emotional opinion about it.
Just Google Slugbug... hate Slugbug game, or I think I put in who hates the Slugbug game, and there were tons of message board posts of people saying, who likes these new Volkswagen commercials where they're just orange one and they're hitting, and why aren't they saying Slugbug or Punch Buggy like they're supposed to, and they're not even doing it with real bugs, so it's not even the point. It just got all angry. I had a guy on a podcast. I was on the Nobody Likes Onions podcast. This is a while ago, and I decided to look back at the message boards. And one guy I thought was funny. He was like, "I think Justin laughs too much during the show because I know Patrick's pretty funny, but I don't think he's that funny." I'm sorry. That's the wrong one I was talking about. This other guy was like, he goes, "I love Justin on the show. In fact, why doesn't he ditch those two train wrecks of podcasts that he has that he's doing on the other side and become a full time co-host at NLO?" Or whatever. And he goes, and then in parentheticals, he put, "Never listened to their podcast, but I figure it's the internet, so I just have to bash someone."
I like that guy.
I know, me too. I was like, oh, man, I really wish you were my friend. I liked it a lot. I want to know what Monster Mix and Match is, which probably means it's not very entertaining.
I'm going to guess. I want to guess the games.
Okay. Thanks to our bar, okay. If that makes you any...
What's it?
It says Monster Mix and Match, and then the person who's put together this blog or website is thanking R period bar.
Oh, that is definitely
probably
not
a pasty
clue.
Lady face.
Okay, so again, the context of it is people sitting in the back seat, something to do on long car rides. Monster Mix and Match. I think you drive around and you see. I think it's one of those games like you build your own Star Wars names. So you take the license plate of a car and you have to come up with what it stands for. That's my guess.
All right, let's see.
That's a good, pretty good game. Either way,
that is a pretty solid game. I'm trying to figure out and make this, see if you're right.
You just click on the link. It's the internet.
No, I was trying to do a thing, but I had the thing turned down with the stuff, and then there were things involved.
I think you read it, the license plate. Oh. You know, that sound effect is really for the lack of the sound effect being on time.
Exactly. Here's the rules for Monster Mix and Match. If there are enough passengers, 3 is the ideal number, but you could do it with 2, you could play Monster Mix and Match. Equipment, a pencil or pen for each player and some sheets of medium-sized unlined paper. Procedure. I love it already.
Wow.
Each player takes a piece of paper and folds it into thirds lengthwise. I.e., so that the folds are perpendicular to the long edge. So, like, yes. You're putting it in an envelope. That's the way it made sense to me. Starting at one edge with the edge at the top, draw the head or neck of a corresponding body parts of a monster, alien, teacher, or other odd creature. Extend the two lines to the neck just barely across the fold and to the next third of the paper so the next person can see where to attach the midsection. So it's like you're drawing the head and then you pass the paper.
This is a terrible car game.
And then they continue drawing the next segment of...
What's this website? I need to flame them.
Beachnet.com.
This is stupid, because why in the world would that be a car game? My game was much better, because I used the environment around you. You had to bring pencils and paper. People get car sick while they're driving. Man, whoever put this down is about the stupidest person on the planet. Why don't you just drive a car in your own face? KMZ.
You got really internet-y on that one.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to flame him.
Is that a term?
Oh, absolutely.
I want to know what Scrabble is, because we like to play it. A variation of alphabet, where each player gives the other a word of the same number of letters to fill out from letters along the roadside.
Oh.
The adult can hand out the words, or the younger person can pick words for each other. For added fun, if there is someone patient enough to keep score, you can play with actual letter points values from Scrabble. Cheat hint, Z and X occur much more frequently on the roadside than in written language,
no
thanks
kidding.
To proliferation of exits
Zone and exit.
Where you can buy pizza. There was another game that I liked that I was reading through this, which is called Ghost. It says you spell out words. The first person says a letter, and the next person has to add a letter, and you continue in a certain order adding letters. The trick is that if you add a letter and the string can't be completed to make a word, you lose. But if you add a letter and make the string a complete word, you also lose. For example, there were three of them, and one started with E, then the next gave X, then T, then O. Now, if the next person said L, they lose because now it is extol, which is a complete word. But if they said, for example, P, then they can be challenged to come up with a word that starts in X, T, O, P, E, X, T, O, P.
So the game is to continue adding letters.
Yeah, try to build as long a word as you can.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a
That's a good one. See, don't you like this version of the trivia challenge? Because
I do.
Topics, we're just talking about whatever the next thing things makes us think about this story or that story. Trivia challenge, we're learning something as opposed to just this random loose thread of whatever somebody says it makes you think of somebody else.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, this reminds me of something that happened to me this week. Put a pin in that. I do want to talk about something.
Oh.
But I do have did you have more of the
trivia
challenge?
That's all my trivia challenge.
So, but the only homework I had time to do is I wanted to know, in the game of Slug Bongo or Punch Buggy, if you're on the Weird Coast, what is the average, how often are you going to see a slug bug?
Oh.
So, right? Like, that would be
good
to know.
I like the way your mind works, yeah. Miller.
So, I did a little research.
I'm going to do a weekly podcast with your ass.
It'll be a train wreck. So, according to some stats that I could find online, there are currently in the neighborhood of 62 billion cars registered in America. I know that's wrong. Suddenly, this is all making more sense. Please hold.
Do you want me to hit pause, or do we have people watching? I know Sky Jedi is watching live.
Now I understand. No, you're fine. I just misread. This whole time I've been trying to do the math, and I'm like, that cannot be right. Okay, there are 62 million cars on
registered
the road.
In the United States
registered
of America.
Registered on the United States of America. Now, there were the first line of Beatles, when Beatles were being manufactured, there were, they had an exact count, but we're going to round it to 21.5 million.
This is the original, like, 1960s style.
From the beginning all the way until they stopped manufacturing them in 2003.
The original style.
Both. Just whatever would be called a beetle, a bug.
Oh, so all of the bugs that they've ever made.
Yeah, in the neighborhood.
In the United States.
No, total.
Total
ever.
Global.
So we can estimate most of those were sold in Germany, actually.
Okay. And
actually, I had that number. Hey, buddy, what's going on? I love that you're here, but I really wish you weren't.
Now, are you saying that because he's distracting you,
yep.
Or are you saying that because... Look at him. Look at him just dancing. He's so carefree right now.
Everything's great about me.
I had a real rough day, and right now I love my wife and kid.
Do you? Oh, that's great.
I do.
That's good.
I feel very happy that she gets to come home and we get to hang out.
Okay, so what's... it's closer to 6. Okay, great. So, according to this, 15... million of those, 21 million, are in Germany. So we dropped that way down.
A 50 million? 21?
15 million.
21 million?
No, I'm sorry, 200. Okay. I'm really bad at commas. It's a really
math
bad,
is hard for Kevin.
Math is hard. So 21 million have been made. 16. Oh, no. What did I just say? There's too many windows open. Yeah, 15 million of which are in Germany, leaving us 6 million in the United States. This is what happens when Kevin doesn't do his homework. I'm getting flashes back to the third grade. So,
third grade was the last time you didn't do your homework?
Yeah, after I felt like this, I was like, I'm never not doing my homework.
No, you got to be exaggerating.
No.
You always did your homework.
I think the last time I didn't do my homework was maybe sixth grade, and now I'm being completely honest.
Like, and why not? Because you were busy?
I forgot.
You just, okay.
The last time I...
But third grade was the last time you remember saying, you know what, I'm not doing it.
Never.
You never, never had a thing of like, I'm not doing it.
Never in my life did I say, you know what, I'm just not doing it.
I always did it in school the next day.
That's because you were brilliant.
Yeah.
Yep. So, according to this,
were you just mocking me right there?
A little. I need to work on this math. We need to come back to this maybe next week because I'm missing.
Do you want me to find some game show?
Oh no!
Music
here, now I got it. That's why. Okay,
some ticking or something.
You have there are 62 million cars on the road. There are 6.5 million bugs on the road estimated. So there you have a less than 1 in 10 chance to see a bug.
A less than 1 in 10 chance.
Yeah, so that doesn't make that doesn't sound accurate either. Less that means every 10 cars you see one bug. I don't see that.
No, you see less than one bug.
Yeah, that makes sense. So every 11 cars you see a bug.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
What do you mean that doesn't sound? I think it depends on your area.
All right.
Because here's the thing, too. When they first brought the bug back, you're going to see a ton of them.
That's probably true. That's true. There was a time where they were everywhere. Every girl had one.
Here's the thing. I'm not trying to say your statistic isn't interesting. I'm saying
it is interesting. It's just, it's fuzzy.
Yeah.
It's fuzzy math.
Well, it's hard to associate global numbers and translate them into American.
I dropped it down, but I don't know. Here's the thing is that I just opened up an Excel spreadsheet to figure that out. So it's been a long day. Oh, your son absolutely must sit on your lap right now.
No, he wants his pacifier, but Natalie is cutting chicken up for him. Is that what you're doing, dear? Yes. She's very frazzled.
There's a lot of chicken.
Here's what happens. I know that you guys, if you're like probably thinking to yourself, you know what?
What guys?
If I want to hear...
You mean Pasty Lady Face?
Yeah, Pasty Lady... I like that. Let's make that our listener name. Thanks, Joseph Bears. Or what about nerds? We could go nerds.
Listen, nerd.
Just nerd, huh?
Yeah, nerd.
All right, nerd.
the silent third
you're
party.
Probably... The nerd is going, listen... If we wanted to hear about your wife and kid, we'd listen to that train wreck of a Dads Are More Fun podcast.
That's what I was just thinking.
This is where I want. This is where I want to hear Justin and Kevin rip it up with Trivia Challenge.
Get the dub take out and roll that baby down the stairs.
My wife, now that she's back to working full time, it's pretty fun to watch these moments that happen where she has to work all day and then she gets to come home. And then on nights like Tuesdays when we record the show, 8 o'clock Pacific time, if you want to listen live on Ustream, she gets a little frazzled, I think, and it's fun.
And normally my fiance is here to help lock them into the bathroom and keep them there, but she's not here tonight to keep them upstairs.
All right, they can come down. Joseph Barkley appreciates this because it's all him getting to sit there and go, oh, listen how we can hear everything now. Oh, did it blow up in your face, Joseph Barkley? Take that in your taekwondo butt and shove it.
What?
Doesn't he know taekwondo?
So, Star Trek Online, we all know. This is a favorite game of mine. And
is this your next pin mark?
Yeah, that was the pin mark. Did you like how I went after that?
Yeah.
my pasty lady face of a friend, Dave Lockett, and I were big avid players. He would actually come over to my house. I'd set TV trays up in my bedroom so I could play on my nice, sweet, desktop computer. And he would sit next to me, and we'd play the game. We did this a number of times, or he'd be at home, and I'd play with him over a line. And we got to the point where we realized this game is not so good. Like it's a big deal.
What?
I know.
What?
Did you know I was going to say that, or are you just hoping that I was going to say something?
I knew it was coming, so I was ready for...
Because that is... That is the first time you've ever hit a cue.
I know, right? And I've got a lot of practice now.
You know where that button is. So we were playing and just got...
I want to tell you, nerd, this show is about to get a lot better, all right? And I don't mean just this show. I mean the run of this show is about to get a lot better because Kevin is in a very stressful time in his life and a very happy time at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's going to make for an awesome mix.
Yeah,
I'm very excited now to do these hours. We might even double up now, make it 2 hours.
Oh, gosh. I don't have that time.
I missed the shocker. I missed it. I hit H.
We might do this for 2 hours.
What? What?
So, this game is not good, and we learned, if you care about Trivia Challenge.
What?
Handing the microphone to your son and the wife. And we learned that the
game... Don't give it to the wife. She's very popular with the nerd.
Listen, nerd. Don't listen to her. And now she's got Ace of Cakes on, or Cake Boss. I'm not going to be able to stop watching this show. You guys watch the trashiest of TV.
When you say you guys, you're mispronouncing my wife.
No, you watch that dwarf show. There's nothing entertaining about that, Little Big People. What is it about that show that you like?
Little Big People.
I'm really hurting your feelings.
No, I was trying to figure out the dwarf show because I was like, what? I do not watch the dwarf show.
There is nothing. If it wasn't for the fact, like, I feel it's so insultingly voyeuristic because if it weren't for the fact that they were little people, there would be nothing about that show that separates them from anybody else.
No. Well, for me, I liked the show in the beginning because the guy reminded me of my dad.
Yeah.
So, like, he was building all these crazy things and starting up these crazy businesses for the sake of the family, which I thought was funny because all it was doing was aggravating the family that just wanted to hang out and relax, which is exactly what my father does. My father dreams up these schemes for everybody to work their asses off when everybody's like, why don't we just not spend money?
Or time.
Yeah, and just hang out and play Scrabble together. How about that?
We have to go build a cabin.
Yeah.
Out of the woods that we're going to be in.
Yeah. It was so great to, because my father-in-law does constructions and he works with like plans and stuff like that. And so he came up for Jacob's birthday party.
I remember.
And this is the first time my dad was actually able to show him his cabin. And my dad was going to, he was going to build dormers where he kicks out sections of the roof and all this stuff. And so my father-in-law took like one look at what my dad's plan was. Like, what, if you're going to do all that, why not just add another floor? And he's like, what? He goes, yeah, just knock this wall out and just make the second floor bigger, and then you have room for everything that you want to do, right? And my dad was like, he's like, then you don't have to, you just, you know, you knock it out, you raise some roofs, and then you tear down the roof anyway, and then a roofer come in and lay over the top of it, and he goes, lickety split, you're done. And then it was like, well, now what are we going to talk about? Like, my dad had been talking about this for years, so that's why it was entertaining for me, but probably not to the nerd.
So Star Trek is not a good video game. It got to a point where we realized we were bored, and so I went on to their forums, and I posted a little thing and said, hey, I'm leaving you Star Trek Online. I'm sorry.
Oh, I hit the wrong button. That channeled it to one side of their headphones. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was weird. And so my thread got closed on their forums, even though I asked a question about why, what do you think of the game? So then I posted the question again, like, hey, my thread got closed. I still want to discuss this. And then it got closed again. So then I put up on the forums, freedom of speech was the name of the subject. So I created a thread called Freedom of Speech, and then within there I said, hey, my thread just keeps getting closed. This is what I said initially. This is what I'm saying now. What do you guys think? And so then four pages of this nonsense of people.
Oh, you're going to read it?
Not a lot of it's very interesting.
Because here's what I would have wanted you to say when you first told me the story. I wanted you to say, why don't you get all, listen, why don't you follow the prime directive and just observe and not interfere?
I wish it were that cool. If they talked like that, I would stay in the game.
Yeah.
But they don't. They're just a bunch of forum nerds. Because, so I said, here's my breakup letter to the Star Trek Online. With a heavy heart, I canceled my subscription to Star Trek Online today. I feel it is the only way the game will get better. The look of the characters, world, and props are fantastic, and it's clear the developers are true fanboys and girls. But the gameplay in Star Trek Online isn't interesting. I'm tired of reading pages of text and then running the same formulaic missions. I want to see character growth and variety in gameplay. I feel isolated in this massive multiplayer game, MROP for you previous listeners. And there are far too many unbalanced and poorly tested missions. I will continue to read the forums, the emails, and the website looking for the positive improvements. Maybe some user-generated content engines will help spice up the missions, but I don't feel in its current state that Star Trek Online is worth my $15 per month.
May the force be with you.
No, what? No! How dare you? So then I put that and put it on the back and said, hey, you know, this is what I think. Do you guys feel alone? Moderators, please leave me alone. And the very next post, like 8 seconds later, somebody posted, this will not end well. To which Dave and I were like, what does that even mean?
Wait, who's Dave?
Dave Lockett and I.
Okay.
So several people chime in and they just get so angry. And the next person says, you started two threads that are against forum rules and wonder why they have been deleted on privately owned forum. Think hard about why they might have happened and why you can't use freedom of speech as a workaround on the forum rules.
Nerd.
Somebody else, freedom of speech does not grant you any kind of rights or privileges on the internet forum. Sorry. And then this guy. So eventually somebody said, you know, you're on here's the list, and they gave me an actual link to something. And then I had to go back. They forced me to go back and re-edit my initial post to say, I know there is no freedom of speech on the forums. I was being ironic. Here's my real issue. So I had to just constantly say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? So by the end of it, I actually had a really good point, I thought. So this is my final post, one of the last posts I said. I said I was talking about this. There's just no story in this game, and if you're a gamer like me, you're looking for a story.
Well,
you're
also that's what you play. I don't.
It's
I've never
Star
played
Trek.
It. Yeah, you play the MROP because you want to be invested in the universe. You
yeah,
know
it
what
is,
I mean?
And if it weren't for the fact that it was Star Trek, nobody would be playing this.
Now,
game.
Is it possible? Because here's this is an outsider who's a Star Trek fan, and I like it. And if I was going to like get a PC and put a game on it,
you could put a Mac on it.
I could put a Mac on on a PC.
Yeah, you can actually.
Oh. I know lots of people put PCs on Macs because it's better hardware.
Yeah, it's probably not true. Go on.
Anyway, what you could do, what I would imagine and what I would want out of it is that, like, I could create a crew and then, like, create my own episodes of Star Trek. Like, go on these missions of, like, I'm going to go explore and go where no man has gone before. And I'm just going to jump around to planets. And then there would be little tiny things that you could do to...
That's what it appears to be.
Like, things where I could go to a planet and then, like, what I jokingly talked about, the Prime Directive, where it's like, I'm going to observe and study a culture and then take my findings back or something.
That would be a much better game. But what they do instead are these episodes where it's the same thing every time. You go to a sector of space, you approach a planet, you have a little battle with one of four different races, either the Klingons or the Romulans or blah, blah, blah. Then they go, oh, crap, they've gone down to the surface. You need to go down to the or onto the space station. You need to go there. So you beam down, you walk around with your crew, you maybe fight some guys or chase somebody down or collect something. It's all the same stuff. There's no maze or trying to figure out how to get into a room. It's just move from point A to point B. Once you get there, they go, oh crap, the guys beam back up to their ship. You follow them back up to the ship, you have another space battle, and then you win. Like every single mission is the exact same thing. And then there are these really bad missions where you just you go into a place and you have to find five things on a planet. You just walk around trying to find this glowing thing.
But do they make changes to those things?
No, nothing.
Through audience suggestion?
No, yeah, exactly. That would be awesome. That game I would play. So I kind of I'm talking about that. There's no story in this, and these people keep blaming the players. They're saying, "Well, we're not being social enough. We need to be more social." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's true. I know that people are being antisocial because it is just the nature of Star Trek,
like an MROP type game.
Yeah, where people are elitist and rude. But I'm like, but we're also just not." The game isn't interesting. So I said, I guess just to say that the story they're telling doesn't lend itself to a group effort. Sure, I find it painfully challenging to complete some of the missions solo. I mean, the battle is won at the end of the day, but it takes so long to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm like, still computer shitty.
But there's little reason for anyone to join me unless they happen to be in the same place at the same time as me doing the same thing. What if you had more flexibility in the story you were playing? What if in the middle of a battle you're not doing well, you could send out a distress signal and nearby players could jump in for bonus points?
That would be awesome, Miller.
What if in the missions you meet someone in the middle of a map and at that moment, what if a mission is you have to meet somebody in the middle of the galaxy and they're on the other side of the galaxy? So you have to meet another player in the middle of the galaxy. What if when a ship is heavily beaten up, you can respond with relief efforts and medicine? These are just little examples. I feel whatever a game is lacking, in this case, player isolation, it can be solved with storytelling. Several days go by. Again, this has been days of, like, the moment I posted this thread, it was just getting hammered about how I was such a jerk, and people were throwing in thoughts about my criticisms. And I go, LOL, when this topic stopped being controversial, I guess it stopped being interesting. Well, thanks to everyone for helping me sort out my Star Trek feelings. Victory is life, which is a Star Trek reference. And the best I got was one guy a few days later is like, I just have nothing more to add. I disagree with your points.
I have nothing more to add.
I
disagree with your points.
The game is not broken.
Okay, now
are.
I get what he's saying. Yeah, yeah. I thought he was like saying, I have nothing more to add to what you said, but here's what I'm adding.
His point is like, I just don't have anything to say.
I disagree, but I don't have anything else to support.
I don't have to say anything about it. You've said your point. I've said my, and that's it. And that's the end. So
me,
I've decided not to renew my subscription to Star Trek Online.
To me, what it is that I think you have, and maybe it's because I love you. And
that's very sweet of you.
And that you and I were destined to be together in whatever life happens.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going.
Are we gonna recycle something later?
Hippies.
Just randomly, Rainn Wilson has put on his tweet, "Women love Volkswagens." just right now in the middle of the tweet.
That's funny.
Are you listening, Rain?
I bet he is. He's a big fan. Chime,
please call 408-299-4911. And, right?
Here's an interesting question that Rain comes Wilson. From our chat rooms.
Yo, are people talking?
Yeah, Slappy 407 just said, why didn't you just stop playing instead of being such an online drama queen?
I was thinking. Here's why, Slappy, and I know who you are.
I just became a fan of the chat rooms and you stream.
Thanks, Hyperapathy, for the congrats, by the way. Here's why. Because they need to listen. The game was released early. Okay? And they are forcing us to pay to help them develop the game.
Oh, like they're it is not that's not part of their what their public plan
no,
is.
No, no.
But essentially they're just well, let's just put it out there. These guys will subscribe, they'll work out all the kinks.
Exactly. The publishers force them to release early. There are parts about the game. I mean, the missions are so buggy. There's a part where you warp through the galaxy. It just looks like an untested like a demo, like, oh, we'll do something like this, and they put it in the game. And it's so uninteresting. And so the idea is, well, we have a strong enough fan base, which they do. We're going to get some money now from selling the game and the online, or this. They have an online store where you can buy more stuff and the renewal fees. And like, and we'll use that money and we'll build the game that they want, and we're going to work with them. And as a result, it's just frustrating. So they don't deserve my money.
Yeah.
And what I was honestly trying to do was have the community understand that, but people are too busy defending it and telling me that I was wrong and that I can't convince them that the game is bad.
Well, to me, like, again, hearing it from your perspective, I just feel like it's an example where a video game company was like, you know what, I bet you we could make a shitload of cash from Star Trek fans by just putting together a game and saying, hey, we put together an MROP in the Star Trek universe, and people who love World of Warcraft but love Star Trek more are going, oh, thank you.
Because one guy had me.
It also does is it creates the aspect of a convention and makes it global and on demand.
And you get to do your own weird Borg character.
Yeah,
it's a great idea, and it will succeed. One guy had a really good point. He said, this is the Star Trek game. There are no other Star Trek games out at all. And it's not like they're going to scrap this and make another one in its place. Like, this
there is a
it.
Pretty awesome iPhone app that was made to promote the movie. I don't know if you heard of it, where you go
it's
around.
It's like Battlefield 42.
Yeah.
It's such a bad game. Yeah. So I will continue to look, and I will dip back in. They make updates about every 3 months. They change the gameplay.
Wait a minute. So you are not like giving up on the game. You're just canceling your membership?
I'm canceling my subscription.
But you may go back
someday.
It's still,
I know you're trying to push the button.
Still there it goes.
You need to turn that tail on.
Yeah,
that
get
file.
That get that out of there. It won't let me play it again.
So I'm engaged.
What?
Slappy, shut up. I understand. I quit playing Dig Dud for the same reason. I gave you that nickname.
Who is Slappy 407? We gotta get
it's
him
from,
in here.
Mix 106.
Oh, is this that Cambassian? Or Tambazian?
What?
Or what's...
No, Mix 106 from San Jose.
Oh, Slappy!
Remember Slappy? Slappy, am I right?
You can tell
me. I bet I'm right.
Slappy. I saw him... where did I do... I did a stand-up show with him at the Ice House. And he was hilarious.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
I hosted his... That's what it was. I hosted his Uncle Clyde's competition, and I didn't want to go up to him and say, hey, you and I used to do comedy sports together, because it was one of like the first times I'd hosted the Clyde's competition for my old manager, and I was like, I didn't want to look like he had some kind of an inside. Definitely had the set of the night. Hilarious nerd humor. Hilarious.
Then he loves this. That's why he dropped the
hilarious nerd
reference.
Humor. Anyway,
what was up with that game? What's the reality of the Dig Dug game? You're digging through the ground. There are these monsters that then eventually have the ability to float through ground, and if you hit them with a pipe, they explode.
It's not a pipe.
It's like an air pump.
Yeah, it's a bicycle pump.
What is supposed to be happening? Like, what's the...
I think you pretty much broke it down.
Yeah, but what are the monsters in the,
okay,
the bicycle
I get what
pipe
you, let me put it in a way that you could describe. So what you're saying is that...
Slappy says, that's a great story. That's not me.
So what you're saying is that it's that's funny. You're saying is that this world is harder, hard to believe in, whereas the idea of multiple humanoid alien races having a pre-established neutral zone and also a robotic race traveling through wormholes and and then an entirely alien culture based on racial stereotypes or religious stereotypes, that is completely plausible.
Yeah, I know you're being a jackass right now, but yes, no, because
I'm being a nerd.
Being a pasty lady.
Being a slappy.
Because
what I'm doing.
The world of Star Trek is there. It's grounded in reality. Those are relatable things. I don't know what the hell a bike pumping ghosts have to do with underground monsters.
Maybe you just haven't lived enough.
I just
want to
know what
they
are.
Part of your life.
Why don't they explain what they are?
Why don't we have Slappy 407 come on over? You can shove a bicycle pump up their butt and then pump them up, and then you can be like, oh, now I get it. And maybe you become a Dig Dug fan, and now you filled the void of M-Rob Star Trek.
I have a feeling that we'd be really messy. So I'm engaged.
Yeah. What else do you want to talk about?
Oh, no.
What? Right. Do you really think it's that surprising that you're engaged?
No, I just thought you wanted to talk about it.
I did.
What do you want to talk about?
Huh?
What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about watching my buddy get engaged. Engage.
We were going to have our friend Teresa on as well, who just got engaged.
Yeah, she is a whore.
She's so good at returning phone
snatch.
Calls.
I mean, not good at returning? What happened?
She's really good at returning phone calls.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
So anyway, people remember Teresa. She's the one that said... Oh.
said for
touch the Muppet Baby.
So anyway...
She was the one we were going to have on every month.
You, I want to hear the. I want to hear the story of you.
You were a part of this. Oh, right, PC lady face.
You want to go? The nerd. I want to hear the story of like the process for the nerd to know how it went about. How is there anything?
You want to play the video?
It's not really interesting until you actually say the words.
I don't understand.
I mean, like, because it's just music and imagery.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Until you say the words.
You can't jump forward to the part where the video? Where the talk. You don't have to. I'll just tell them.
No, clearly you want me to, so now I have to find it on Facebook.
Why are we fighting? I don't understand.
Because if I wanted to, then I would have done it, Kevin.
Are you just stalling so you can look up stuff?
No, I'm not stalling. I have to look up stuff, and I'm deciding to efficiently use my time
I've done enough improv with you to know that when you're trying to think of what to do, you choose angry. Or sad.
Oh, so now you're going to take a stab. Maybe I don't play your video now. No. Maybe that's what I do.
You either do angry or you start to break down and cry. It's good. You have a really good...
Who's getting married?
That's a terrible show. We watch it, Kat and I.
Wait, what just happened here? It's just... Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay, I found it. So this is the video of Kevin proposing to his lady friend, Catherine Smethurst. And you're going to take her name? Is that what you decided?
Yeah. Kevin.
So he did it at your church.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you were
why?
There.
Why did you do it at your church?
Well, I explain it in the top here. That's why I wanted to play.
Well, no, we're watching you jump up and down.
I was nervous
and doing
as hell.
Bits.
I can tell you everything beforehand. I realized that the only thing that would calm me down was doing bits with people in the lobby, because we're in between the two services there. One ends at 10:45. The next one doesn't start till 11:15. So I found if I just ran around and talked to people and get the most wacky people to just be weird with me, it would at least put some of the blood back into my face and my extremities.
Yeah.
I was talking to Brandon Dickerson, our former lead pastor, was by, and he's like, you're not going to remember any of this later. Honestly, I don't think I can remember what we talked about.
I couldn't understand why you were screwing with me, because I was trying to distract your lady friend and keep her occupied, and you kept walking up to the microphone and then walking away.
I was
like, oh, here it comes. Oh, wait, no. All right, but now here it really comes.
No, wait.
Oh, wait, no? You're walking. Okay, here it comes. Kevin Miller proposing to Catherine.
I also started talking and it wouldn't work.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention. If I could have your attention, please.
I'm going to need you to
it's me over here by the microphone. Hi, my name is Kevin Miller. I'm the Director of Volunteer Resources. Good morning. So glad to have you here at Ecclesia. It's okay. They'll stop talking in a moment.
You were kind of angry at those people.
Well, this is what's about to happen is now, since you've paused it anyway, I'm going to say the same thing I just said, but it's because the rest of the room just shut down and started paying attention.
Yeah.
But everybody that's around me thinks I got nervous, And,
no,
and said
I knew.
It again. That's why people, really? Because
yeah.
I thought people laughed because the ones who knew what was going on were like, ah, he's so nervous and
no.
stupid.
I knew. Here's what happened. I heard the laugh yeah. and I laughed. I was like, it's not because he's nervous. It's because on the other side of the room where you aren't, there yeah. are people still talking.
Yeah.
And it's going to look weird if those people just hear you go, cat, come on up. You know what I mean?
See, you knew that. Let's
because you're in charge of these people in a certain degree, too. And then you don't want people thinking that this is the open mic for them. You know
exactly.
what I mean? Now they could just start coming up and trying to steal your thunder and proposing to their soulmate on a PA system in the lobby of a church.
They better bring their own PA
this
system.
Is God's house, not
Amen.
Theirs.
You go, sister.
Right on.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here to worship God with us this morning. I do have a quick announcement, if I can have your attention. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Kevin Miller. I'm the director of volunteer resources here. That's your announcement. Thank you. Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you my girlfriend, Catherine Smethers. Catherine Smethers.
At that moment, I thought my tongue was going to stop working. When
now,
I said introduce to you, I'm like, oh, no.
Here's what happened.
Oh, no.
Because I also noticed that there was like, I don't know if because I wasn't paying attention well enough here, because but there was a moment where you flubbed up like grammar or something
I
like
just
that.
Said introduced
that's,
you.
That's what
yeah,
I was.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing was that, so Natalie and I, we went to the service and we were, our job, in my opinion, was to distract Catherine and keep her looking away from you and just kind of keep her occupied. She had told me that she had to go to some meeting with the church at 11:15.
She did.
At this point.
She totally missed that meeting, by the way.
It was 11:05 or whatever, or 11:08, I think.
No, 11:05. Your watch is fast.
Because I was like, what the hell are you doing, Miller? We've all been sitting here for 20 minutes. What are you waiting for?
11:05. It was always 11:05.
Was the time to announce?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting for more people for the second service to roll
to
in.
Show up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I was... But here, I'm just freaking out. My wife is very excited because you are finding a wife, someone to spend the rest of your life with.
Wait, what?
And my wife is finally has another vagina to hang around. And
wait, what?
What? Is this not what you... Because I thought this is the only reason why you did this.
For your wife?
Yeah, it's because Natalie really likes Kat
a
lot.
That's probably true.
So you're like, okay, finally.
Fine, she'll do. She's good enough for Natalie.
But so Natalie, she see because I think Natalie was just as like. In fact, I hope I'm not embarrassing her. Did she go upstairs?
She did. Yeah. So let's talk about her.
Well, no, because Natalie was super afraid because she just was. She was excited and she asked Kat to hold her cell phone
yeah.
and hold her purse because she thought you were about to start doing it.
Yeah.
And then I
but
was
she's
like,
holding the baby at the same time.
Yes. And which is yeah. why it wasn't
didn't
a good idea.
A single bit of sense.
So I said, I kind of look at her and I'm like, what are you doing? Like I just kind of shot her an eye look of that. And then she very cool played it off as like, I just wanted to see her clasp. Like it there was
oh,
I know,
that's
I
funny,
could,
because when Kat tells that story, she misses that part.
She misses that yeah. part. As well, because I looked at it, I was like, oh, that was a solid cover, because I could see through all of my wife's bullshit,
yeah.
and I was like, that was real, you know?
Yeah.
And she just gave it back to her and put it back on, and then, it was so funny, because Natalie thought she was timing it right, because she didn't think you had to turn and test the
mic. I didn't either. I was
yeah.
trying to talk.
So then what happened was, is that yeah, Natalie just puts her purse back on, and then you say, my name is Kevin, and like, you had done your whole
yeah,
other
yeah,
thing.
And then I said, can I have my girlfriend?
Yeah. And then she just put her purse on, and then your beautiful bride-to-be goes, oh, shit, and drops all of her stuff right there and just starts walking.
She dropped it
you.
On the ground?
Yeah, she
oh,
just went, boom.
Awesome.
Like, it just collapsed in her hands or whatever. And Natalie felt afterwards, she said to me, she goes, you don't think that I really, like,
no.
blew it in any way, shape, or form? I said, no. I said, I talked to Kat. She had an idea. She said, honestly, the thing that kind of clued her in that it was coming was that you got a haircut, which I think is
so obnoxious.
Awesome.
So obnoxious. That's the one that drives me nuts. And if she was here, she would say, let me finish. It's not that I got a haircut, although she thinks that's part of it. I was due for a haircut. Did you see my hair last week? But it's that when we were looking at my haircut in the mirror, because she likes to stare at us in the mirror for like 20 minutes at a time.
What?
Yeah. Is that normal? You don't do that with your girlfriend?
Oh, man, I wish I would have known this. You have a history of telling me tidbits of information way too late in your relationship.
It's only 15 minutes.
You're past the point of no. No, you're not. We're still safe. Maybe Sweet. We turn this bachelor party into, I don't know, we go to Iowa and you and I elope. And then we don't have to worry about this
yeah,
little mess.
Plant a whole orchard. Pasty yeah. lady face, cover your ears. yeah, she said, while we were looking in the mirror, I had been thinking of a way to try to get her to dress prettily. Now, when I tell this to women, they say I was stupid for thinking I'd get away with this. But I said, oh, I think we should dress nice to church this Sunday.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's when she began to suspect was because of that comment. And I said, I'm going to wear a suit. Maybe you could wear a dress or something. And maybe I could have been more subtle. But, it, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, there, you the don't one think that you messed did anything wrong.
Is your wife texting her in the middle of it when she thought I was going to propose the day before at the beach. And she, Kat always checks my messages on the phone while I'm driving. She knew we were driving to the restaurant, and your wife texted me and said, is this what I think it's for? When we were inviting you to the beach.
Yeah.
And Kat's like, what does that mean? I don't know. And then she began to suspect because of my response and the way Natalie and I handle it.
Because, like, here's another thing Natalie told me was that when you said, this is Kat,
yeah,
that was... Kat said that was you texting.
Yes, it was.
You sent the response back, this is Kat.
Yeah.
And then it was like, why would Kevin say that?
Yeah.
That was what she explained to us, was that she was like, well, why would Kevin say that if it wasn't, you
I know? Was trying to let Natalie know to stop saying, are you going to propose? So I'll take the hit.
You should, otherwise my wife might kill herself.
Your wife did exemplary. The recon she
there
did
was a
on
lot
the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Just for the nerd to know, there was a lot of recon expectation. There was a lot of milking. And again, not that anything was wrong, but in any way, shape, or form, I said, just so you know, I said, there's going to be a give and a take in. You can have everything be exactly the way she wants it. Or you can have a surprise. If you try and get both at the same time, you're going to sacrifice one or the other at the same time.
It's perfect.
Oh, yeah, of course. And see, that's like, and I don't know. This is also interesting for me to hear, too, is that in retrospect, do you think that the, like, even though she kind of had an inkling, that doesn't ruin it in any way, shape, or form?
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
I would have loved for it to just blindside her, but I know that it surprised her more than she was ready for.
Exactly.
Her father, Pasty Ladyface, told me, you are going to hit her like a truck because she doesn't suspect this.
For months.
Till December.
Yeah.
So it definitely took her by surprise.
Yeah.
But I do like it because when she began to suspect things, she thought she was going crazy because she's like, no, I'm just being a girl.
Natalie said the same thing. On the day that I proposed to her, because we started talking about this on the drive back, on the day that I proposed to her, I was inviting everybody from Great America. Her parents were coming to Comedy Sports. Everybody was there except for my parents, who I can't remember why they couldn't be there.
I think
my mom
liked
had to work.
You were in a fight.
No, I wasn't fighting my parents at that time.
They didn't like you.
I believe that before I was in a fight with them.
Well,
I believe that they're just disinterested.
I think when you start to recognize when they're angry at you, it would really help you have less fights with your parents. Jesse, you're on the line, right?
No.
Jesse, why don't you chime in on this?
Wait, what?
Well, Justin, I'm glad Kevin has brought me on the podcast, because... What's that? Okay, I gotta go. I'll come back.
Oh, well, that's a shame. We didn't get a chance to...
Why did my dad have to go, do you think?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
It's not very, like, pussy whip, so it's not like he has to...
Maybe you're on fire.
He's going to put me out.
Yep.
But here's the thing. So Natalie, she goes, because one of the cast members in the show she was at Great America said, do you think he's going to propose? And Natalie goes like, I kind of have an idea because my parents are going to be there and it's at Comedy Sports and it was our anniversary. Like, so all of the things she goes, but then you kind of start psyching yourself out because you're like, yeah, but what if I'm just plugging all this in? You know what I mean? What if, like what Kat was just saying, what if I'm making all this up and then it's not real and it doesn't happen? Then there's going to be this huge letdown.
What it made me really attracted to her because I realized she was a lot smarter than I thought she was. So
to figure you out?
Yeah, to figure out. I thought that was great.
I mean, here's the thing. It was, and it's easy for me to say in hindsight, but it was incredibly adorable to think that you were masterminding this whole thing. And I was like, at some point, she's going to figure this out. I hope she doesn't, but at some point,
she didn't. I was like 85%. Press play.
60.
What happened next? I won't go lower than a B.
So this is Kat walking towards Kevin right now.
Hi. Hey, you want to say anything?
She hates being a fan.
Oh, okay. For so long, Kat only knew me as the guy that made these lobby announcements. So I thought it only fitting that during a lobby announcement that this would happen.
Kevin puts the mic in the mic stand.
I expected a much bigger reaction.
Goes down on one knee. What do you mean you expected a much bigger reaction? From her?
No, from the room. I wanted to say, here's how it played out in my mind. That I say, for so long, Kat only knew me as the guy who made the lobby announcements, so I only thought it fitting that during a lobby announcement, this would happen. Down on one knee. That's what I wanted. The gasp. The giant gasp.
See, this is why I think you're closer to... I think you're closer to 60% because
85.
I think a lot.
I did not get a D.
A lot of people saw it coming. A lot of people.
I don't, only because somebody told everybody.
Somebody?
Somebody.
Who? Oh, somebody
but,
did?
Yeah, somebody did go around and start telling people before. And yeah, because other people were like, hey, you need to come over here. And somebody was like, yeah, we know what's going on.
Oh, that's funny. That's great. Maybe that's why they kept talking.
I think so. They're like,
what a bunch of jerks.
That guy.
Yeah.
What a drama queen. Oh, that's Diana Parker.
Kat, last week you dared me to say I love you over this microphone in the lobby. So here you go, I love you. Don't look at me. God is so good, and he's doing so many amazing things in this relationship. And you're fantastic, and I enjoy being with you so much.
Now I'm fetching the ring. I rehearsed this all. It didn't work out like I rehearsed.
Will you marry me and be my wife? You have to say it into the microphone.
Yes.
That's a pretty outstanding reaction.
It's a pretty good reaction. I was pretty pleased with that.
This is my favorite part. You couldn't remember what ring, what finger it went on.
She had so many fingers. It was the weirdest feeling in the world.
No, she didn't help you because I didn't notice it until this is the fourth time I've seen this, I think, maybe fifth. But she had all of her fingers
That's
out.
That's what I'm saying.
She had them like crisscrossed.
Exactly. So I'm like, I don't know. And so I'm trying to put it, I'm like, I know it's not that finger. So it's got to be this finger.
Because it wasn't even like put your hands in front, unless you're driving, in which case, definitely do it. But if you're sitting at home on your computer working, then keep working. Otherwise, you'll get fired. But if you touch both of your thumbs together and did like jazz hands, spread them all out or whatever, that's not what she did.
The thumbnail.
Take your thumb, take your left thumb and put it about to the, touch the other side of your right palm, like the far side, and that's what she did. So your fingers are overlapping and it's like this, where's Waldo? Which hand is forever?
I didn't know. And so she's like, this one, and she had to pull the other hand away to make me realize I was
Women
using
Women have no idea what men go through when they do this.
It was so hard to do this by myself without her knowing. I hated keeping the secret from her.
Well, beyond that.
The emotional part, let's talk about how it sucks.
Like, I'm talking about the nerves of it. I'm saying, like, and I hate the idea that women are like, why are you nervous? Why is it so nerve-wracking?
Exactly. She asked me that 100 times.
Because of this misnomer that men are afraid of commitment. It's not that. It's that it's, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn for you.
No.
But to me, I feel like there's a tremendous pressure for a man to perform in what is not his wheelhouse or not about him, if that makes sense. So it's like, I wouldn't consider myself to be emotional void. But at the same time, like, I don't know what Natalie wants. We don't spend since we're 10 years old planning what our dream wedding is going to be. We don't look at pictures of bridal magazines as we're walking through the grocery aisle and go, I don't like that. We never even think about it until this moment. So all the times that ladies have all this time thinking and preparing for how they're going
to
react.
They get to be a princess.
Exactly. Yeah. And all this stuff. Like, men have it all decided for them in a matter of weeks. Like, we have it. It hits us like a brick, like, or a bolt of lightning, or some would say like a shotgun held to your head from a future father-in-law because you knocked up your bride-to-be.
Modesto.
but you have this moment of like, oh my God, I'm going to marry her. Yeah. Like it just kind of hits you. And then now it's shopping for rings. And then you just feel like you're on a treadmill that you're trying to keep pace with because now it's like, okay, now I got to get the ring. Okay. Now I got to do, okay, now I got to find out how I'm going to do it. Oh, that's not a good idea. Cause you can't just, you try and find out some romantic way of doing it, but it's like, even you said, and I'm only using this as an example. I hope this doesn't sound like criticism, but you yourself said she doesn't like being in front of a group of people. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but you proposed to her in front of a group of people. Now, I'm sure that she doesn't go, why did he do that? You know what I mean?
Because I wouldn't have married her.
Exactly. But that's why we're nervous. We want everything to be right. We want everything because we are genetically engineered, I think, on some level to want to not screw things up. Like, I used to think that I had the world by the balls, and now I'm hitting this point in my life where it's like I'm walking around my marriage, I'm walking around being a parent, and I'm just like, I just hope I don't screw anything up. I just want to not offset the balance of life. If I could just create some level of homeostasis and then not screw it up, that's going to be awesome.
Just like you did with your wonderful fish tank.
Exactly. Aww. But now it's balanced.
Too soon?
Now I have a worker bee in there, and he's keeping
you
it
keep
clean.
Keep bees in your aquarium?
Yeah, is that not what you're supposed to do?
How did the video end?
Oh, that's right. We forgot your great joke, which I thought was awesome.
It's pretty precious.
They're hugging. Everybody's cheering. You see me. If you want to see me in this video and you don't care about Kevin, you go to minute 309 and right over Kat's right shoulder, you can see me wipe my tears because aww. I am crying like a girl.
Are you really?
Oh, dude.
So I was the only one that didn't cry.
I was not the only one.
I cried.
I became angry after crying, looking around at some of these faces of your congregation that were unaffected by this beautiful
moment.
I don't
know everybody.
I know, but still, what kind of soulless beast can look at a man professing his love in front of a public and a woman accepting that love and the future that they're about to share together and just go, oh, hey, all right, give a little golf clap.
So you're not going to choose sad at any point in this scene tonight? It's all going to be angry?
I'm not killing time for anything.
For a little variation.
I just did sad of like trying not to create homeo or screw that up.
Yeah, that's true. That was sad. Yeah, it was good.
Here's the thing. Okay.
Oh, we're getting pensive. Oh.
No, we're not getting pensive.
Oh, angry?
We're getting what's the confrontational is what I'm thinking.
That falls under angry.
Again, you see, you come at me with your condescension because you put a ring on a woman's finger and now you feel like, you see, here's the thing. I talked to Bill Glass about this on the Dad's podcast. I said that a friend of mine is going to be proposing to his lady, and I'm very excited for this to happen because, much like Bill Glass sat in a living room in Birmingham, Alabama, and told me, you're so cocky, you're so arrogant, you have no idea how your world's going to change when this baby comes. Now, I now have a Padawan who will sit here and you come at me like, listen, you only do angry. That's your humor.
I'm simply critiquing your performance.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what
I'm saying. You're an excellent
husband. There's a new level of pompousness that's coming out of you.
I'm pretty sure I've always been pretty pompous.
I'm pretty sure, yes, you have, but I'm pretty sure there's a new level, is what I'm saying. Yeah. No,
What's my hilarious joke?
All right. And they kiss again.
This goes on for a while.
The next service will be starting in 10 minutes.
Hey-o!
Pretty good.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
He edited it too soon. I think he cut your laugh off.
Yeah, I thought so too. I wondered why he did that. Rod doesn't get jokes. Rod is very funny.
Yeah, because it ends at 3:26. It's not like it's a 3:20. You know what I mean? Like I want to end on an even number.
Exactly. Yeah, that laugh probably had at least another second. Maybe a second and a half in it.
Yeah.
I think.
It was a solid laugh. Yeah. The soulless people that weren't crying. Slappy says they're crying right now. Because and Slappy evidently doesn't even know you.
Slappy, you and I should get to know each other.
You just looked at your screen.
I was waiting for him to say something.
I wish I was more engaged in this podcast.
He said that a few minutes ago. I didn't think.
That's funny. We were watching the video.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? Oh, so after this happens, now all of a sudden, now the family calls have to happen.
Yeah,
it's like this. Am I right in that this whole thing is now becoming a stressful experience?
Yeah, it's stressful, but I'm up for the challenge. I'm excited. We put the day out. It sounded like I just went into PR mode there.
Yeah.
I'm good. We're good. We think we got a good game plan. We got a good coach. Got a good team.
One game at a time. Give 110%.
We're going to make it happen. Eat right and exercise. No, we got 70 days. From the moment of the proposal to the actual wedding day.
Which is, I think, an interesting thing that needs to be... Well, we won't have to give out the wedding day because, you know, what if Slappy 407 decides to come down and crash?
Well, we don't have to tell them where it's at.
Yeah.
The location is undisclosed.
But it's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah-ish, somewhere in there.
So that's like not even 2 months away, really. Or a little over 2 months.
Time, yeah, we're on day 67. We have 67 days left, and we're counting it down.
You should buy that countdown app. Then you can have it constantly running on your Droid. That you could just be like, boom, that's how many seconds before I lose my life.
What? This is not going to lose my life.
It's going to happen.
I'm going to gain a life.
Yes, and that's how you lose it. Because it's not just one life you're taking care of now. Now all of a sudden there's this other one that you're also responsible for.
Yeah, that's biblical. You lay down your life for your wife.
Yeah.
That's good.
So it was. Here's the thing. I want to tell you now, for all the nerd to hear. I've had a great.
You can't replace listeners with nerd singular. You'd be for nerd to hear.
Pretty sure I just did.
Because you wouldn't say for all the Justin to hear.
Do you feel that pompousness again coming out?
I've had a very long day.
I know. And it's only going to get longer.
No.
I want to say now that it's been a lot of fun doing this podcast.
Wait, we're not done. This isn't the end.
Oh, no, we will be.
Wait a minute. What?
We will be.
I won't be pompous. I promise.
No, she's going to take you from me.
Oh, no.
That's what
she likes you a little.
No, that's how she got you hooked.
She likes Natalie.
She comes in with her flirty eyes and her cute glasses and her and she shakes her little hips at you and she pretends to be like, you know, coy. I won't go into too many details.
I wish you would.
Pasty lady face that might be listening. We don't want to know what kind of, although maybe Pasty Ladyface taught him how to hook a good man. Maybe he sees a good man in you. I don't know how. That's unfair. That was an easy joke.
I don't think I understand, but go on.
I made a joke at saying...
I get it. Okay, I just didn't want to explain it.
And by no, I mean in the biblical sense. Oh, Slappy 407 knows me biblically. Everybody who writes into the show, I think I've had sex with. That's always
one of my... Please make that a drop.
We have to start writing down these times because I'm not going to remember.
I just wanted to be a series of things and then me saying, please make that a drop.
So I know we're over, so we got to wrap this up. But I'm curious about what your mindset is. Like, I know that you're stressed. I know that you have a lot that you have to do. Let's talk about this because I think this would be a fun before. Like, what do you picture your married life to be? Do you see it being much different from your life now?
No, you know, honestly, to be all romantic and cute. The thing about our relationship, what we're most excited about. Can I always do it in the?
You can NFL do whatever you want, dude. It's your world. Rock it.
The moments where I knew that I wanted to marry her were the moments that were the most mundane, where we were just sitting around watching TV, or I could be on my computer and she could be reading her book, and that's what she likes to do. She makes it very clear. She comes from a large family. Her immediate family is 5 siblings total, and then 2 parents. So their house was always stuff going on, but people would do things on their own all in the same room. So that's how she feels cared for, and she'll do activities that are isolated, like reading a book or, you know, a magazine or playing a game or something, but she'll do it. We'll do things together, but she's perfectly happy and likes doing things on her own. So,
like a beta fish,
a little like in her own glass, in her own glass jar. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not even going to be half the time. It just means that things like playing video games or art projects that I'm working on or doing things like podcasts, she's more than happy to allow me to have my own. We will have our own autonomy. That's great. Look at you. Wow, that is a new shade of red.
Oh, that was great. That was awesome.
She's not allowing me to do anything. We encourage each other.
On behalf of my good friend.
We're in love. We have 67 days until the marriage.
Oh, gosh.
Family coming.
Oh, that was great.
It's going to be
outstanding.
It's going to be beautiful.
And you know what?
What's that, dude?
I hope I'm wrong. I really do.
Prove me wrong, boys. Prove me wrong. Hey, we had 12 listeners in the Ustream, 3 of which are still with us, 1 of which is Justin. The Trivia Challenge poll tonight. Do you like the Trivia Challenge? Yes. 0 votes. No. 0 votes. Is this a topic? 0 votes. So I don't think people are taking the poll. That's after 3 weeks of no votes.
Yeah. We need to figure out what our topic is going to be.
Oh, we set it back there, didn't we? There was something I wanted to be the trivia challenge.
Oh, gosh.
We'll have to go back.
Sharks.
Sharks, yeah. Shark
what
week.
Did sharks do
Next
because...
week is Trivia Shark Week. Yeah, that feels like that's been done. I feel like there's whole...
Shark Week has been done?
I feel like there's whole shows. But no, I want to do the urban myth of menstruation and sharks. That's what I want to know. Because your wife threw it out.
Well, why don't you just... Well, here's the thing. If we'll plan on sharks.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to offer a suggestion different from sharks, you can send an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com.
Yeah.
Or give us a call, 408-228-4911, and we can change it on the fly or whatever. But
I think
right
you said
now,
299 earlier.
What do you mean?
When I gave out the phone number.
299?
Yeah, I think so.
408-228. Yeah. What did I just say?
You said it right.
408-229-4911.
No, it's 228. This is some fascinating radio.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, Radio Playground is Justin Warsham and Kevin Miller. We are the JK Show. Have a great night.
What if we did a podcast of you and your lady putting together your wedding?
Like, you know, it's been fun.
Made a weekly, like almost a documentary you could go back and listen to.
I would love to. I wish a wedding show would follow us around. It is fascinating to...
Well, why doesn't she start coming on Tuesday nights and we can just double header this?
She had a party or something to go to. She has her own autonomy. I allow her to have it.
It's not the same.
Damn it.
It's not the same.
On behalf of my good buddy Justin, this is Kevin Miller saying, okay, bye.